It was one of our deepest feelings when we were there that, yes, we taught in schools, we set up clinics, we, as I did midwifery all day, every day. But underlying all that was this heartfelt feeling that we must establish friendship, love, and care among each other, but particularly between Christians and Muslims.
Caring for pregnant women and bringing their babies into the world might not sound like one of the world's most important and most profound openings for interreligious dialogue. However, there are few moments in life that are in closer communication with God, the Creator. There are almost no religious differences between peoples as a new life emerges from the womb into the outside world. As a midwife myself, I can bear testimony that the moment of birth is a moment of intense religious dialogue and unity, crossing all differences of culture and language. It really doesn't matter what name is used for God. God is there, and that is all that is important. In celebrating a new life, all religions rejoice together. Whatever liturgical ceremonies take place around the birth only take place secondarily. At the baby's first cry, every religion across the world thanks God in its own way, in a moment that is both unity and dialogue. Sister B. Kennedy, a Franciscan missionary of the Divine Motherhood, spent many years working as a midwife in Palestinian refugee camps in Jordan. Now back home, she finds herself equipped from her hands-on experience for her current role in interreligious dialogue in her native Ireland.
We felt deep in our hearts we had our little answer, that the answer is really, yes, it's good to have conferences and talk at that level, but we felt the real need of dialogue of life, dialogue of living, dialogue of being with, dialogue of sharing culture.
There is, in addition to interreligious dialogue, a dialogue of living.
We believed in the dialogue of life and living. Now, we were aware, and indeed I partook in many meetings and still do, between the Christian Islamic dialogue, where scholars and people of both sides regularly assemble in our big cities for conferences, trying to come up with some answers to help dissolve the distrust and the animosity, and as now we see in our streets today, hatred that exists between members of these two great faiths.
Working in the refugee camps in Jordan taught Sister B that dialogue between cultures and religions means learning to speak the same language.
We were aware and realized that to understand culture and its people better, we would have to learn language. Language is vitally important. So everyone in our community was every day and every day of every week going to Arabic classes, speaking Arabic in the clinics, learning a bit more about Arab culture, history, its literature, its tragedies. And it helped us to grow in understanding of the people we were living and working with.
History also plays its part. Everyone has come from somewhere. Language unites cultures and teaches mutual respect.
Learning the history, for instance, the history of the Arab people, learning the language of the Palestinians, learning their idioms. We here in Ireland, our language is absolutely laced with idioms. There's an idiom for everything. And when you're learning the Irish language, you actually get a little book which is full of idioms. And each little idiom conveys a whole big meaning and a history. Now, the Arab language is exactly the same. When you learn their idioms, learn their expressions, learn what they love, learn what they honour, and respect it. Respect is vital.
Sister B worked in the refugee camps as a midwife, But she was necessarily involved in interreligious dialogue through her work. She soon realized an important truth.
We really realize that as Franciscans, living, moving, working, being friends with the Muslims was vitally important for the peace of the world, to spread Franciscan peace in the world. We were aware that we had within the great religions, the three great religions, the potential for world peace, or the potential for world war and world destruction.
Sister B recalls special occasions of closeness between Muslims and Christians.
And my fond and great memories are of us sitting with our Muslim friends, close Muslim neighbours, because we lived right in the middle of the Muslims. We had our little apartment right in the middle with Muslims upstairs, downstairs and on both sides. And we would sit around in the evenings, especially on their Muslim feasts and on our Christian feasts. We would sit around, drink tea, eat sweets, enjoy ourselves and talk about our different histories, our different backgrounds. They would love to hear stories about Ireland. They'd love to hear stories about England and Scotland. And equally, we would sit and hear all their stories. But of course, they would start their stories back with the 1001 Nights and Babylon and Egypt and so on. And that's how an Arab functions. They have a long, beautiful tradition. And we learned to listen and respect that.
So where does this lead Christian-Islamic dialogue? Sister B looks back to Pope Pius XII and then to possibilities in the present for the future.
I would love to see accompanying Christian Islamic dialogue with our scholars whom I respect. I would love to see an underpinning of that with a new surge as Pope Pius XII had when he became conscious and had a sudden realization of what was really happening in the Middle East. He had an inspired moment and he came back and called his people around him and asked them, please set up a mission and send out our missionaries to help these people, not to convert. We were never asked to convert. We were never asked to do any catechesis among Muslims, and that was totally understood. But to go out and actually, with the compassion of Christ, with the love of Christ, with the spirit of Francis, to get right out there and help them in their need.
She talks about what she considers to be the real weapons of war.
You know, I do believe that the real weapons of war are the denial of education, the denial of health care, the denial of freedom of movement, the building of walls between peoples. And it's time that in a globalized world and in the world of the web, that we began to become part of that web, of that great big web, where we go up and down different strands of the web and move right in and become together part of a globalized world.
That web can be built anywhere. All it needs is love and patience.
That web can be built in Ireland with the Muslims coming to us in Ireland, with the Muslims coming to England, breaking down walls at all times, getting rid of ghettos. Positive action, real positive action could emanate, as I say, in the spirit of Pius XII in his day. We must discern what now.
The future is full of hope and enthusiasm. World peace is a possibility. Understanding between the world's religions is within our grasp now.
There has been this little blip. And you know, there was the little blip when there were accusations about not caring for the Jews during the war, etc. But out of that grew the pontifical mission. And I think out of this little misunderstanding, because everyone knows that the Holy Father, who is so dedicated to peace and is such a peaceful man, never set out to insult anyone or cause any trouble. And his deepest heart's desire has to be for for world peace and understanding among the great religions. But I really think that we have to not feel downtrodden by what has happened just now. It's misunderstanding. And, you know, people who are hurt are almost geared to wait for the next hurt. They're ready to be hurt. So the least little thing we say with the best intentions can do that. But I would say, let's learn. Let's, with a new enthusiasm, and with the enthusiasm of 1948 and Pius XII, let's think anew on how there can be a pontifical mission to create new dialogue, new love, new understanding, new sense of hope between Christians and Muslims.